Morning, church. I just want to thank Daryl for giving me this opportunity to speak with you. And, you know, it's a privilege, and it takes a lot of trust to hand over the pulpit to people. And I honour Daryl for letting me do this morning. And I'm excited by what God's going to do. And I'm just going to share my opening scripture just to give you a foundation of where I am at the minute. So in Corinthians 2, it says, "When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I did not use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching was very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God." And this is basically my message that I'm going to bring with you this morning, is coming from a place of knowing what it is to be born again, spirit-filled, coming from a place of knowing I was a sinner, and when the grace of God come on my life, he drew me in, and I just responded, and as the grace filled me, and as his love filled me, I responded with a yes to Jesus, and he has done the rest. He's transformed me to be like him, which is a process. So, just need to make sure I've got my notes because I'm covering them up. I want to share a couple of scriptures. There's one scripture that is I read whilst I was at one event this summer, and as I was reading it, it just really spoke to me, and it was just like I knew that God was speaking to me about speaking again and just revealing more of who he is. So as we go to the scripture of John 9, it's all right. Yeah, this is the scripture that inspired me to speak today. Both these scriptures I'm gonna share pretty quick after the other, and they're both to do with long-term sickness, being born with a sickness for a long time, and both of them were beggars due to their sickness. So in John 9, it says, "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, 'Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?' 'It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins,' Jesus answered. 'This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming when one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world.'" As I was reading that scripture at one event, I just thought, wow, God, that you pour your spirit into us to manifest the glory of God. You know, sometimes we can get so hooked up on sin that we think we're sick because of sin. But actually, sometimes God just wants to reveal his power through you so that you can be a testimony to other people. And then the other scripture was in Acts 3. I love this one. This is beautiful. I love it. It says, "Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the gate of the beautiful gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, 'Look at us.' The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, 'I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk.' Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did this, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Walking and leaping, praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity." I love this. When a miracle happens, you've got an opportunity to preach the gospel, which is what it's all about, because the gospel is where there's power to change people's lives. You know, you can get healed, but If you don't meet the one who healed you, then you're going to stay the same. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. Despite Pilate's decision to release him, you rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead and are witnesses of this fact. It's through faith in the name of Jesus this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name healed him before your very eyes. Where it says about when Jesus died on the cross, you know, we can look at that miracle to say God was raised again. But that miracle only comes to fruition when we respond and say yes to his salvation, that invitation to the gospel. Because otherwise Jesus died, it's a miracle to us, but to God it wasn't a miracle. Like, he's God, he can do whatever he wants to do, but it was always for a response for you to put your trust in him. I believe people are going to get healed today. I believe we're going to hear many testimonies after today. And to encourage believers and non-believers, I believe faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. And through my process of my walk with Jesus, as I was saying earlier, I came to him at 18 years old. I experienced the grace, his mercy. And sin's always knocking on the door. Jesus prayed, you know, that I prayed you will not be tempted by the tempter. And that's what the devil does. He's constantly trying to get us to fall into temptation. And I fell into temptation for a long time, 10 years. So recently, for about the last 7 years, I've been living for Jesus, knowing fully what it is to be under his grace and under his mercy. Understanding that you're a sinner, but understanding that when you repent, and I mean a godly repentance, I don't just mean, hey, I'm sorry for that, and then carry on doing it. And for, you know, you understanding there's a godly repentance. And sometimes we cry because of the glory of God, or because he wants us to, for us to give him something, you know. And I always know in my own heart that before I shed any tears, there's a feeling in my gut. It's already stirring inside that I know I need to do something to get right with God. And he gives you this invitation just to sit with him and just to hand over to him everything that you need to hand over to him. There's something that's not in the notes, but I just feel I need to share it. But anger, I just believe that people with anger, and it manifests, anger just like builds up and it builds up and it builds up, and you become more and more angry. And I was listening to a chap the other week, and he said, you're not angry, you're just hurt. And I believe when you can understand to give God your hurt, find the root cause of why you're hurt, and you won't be angry anymore. And I just believe, you know, like sometimes we can hold on to anger and claim anger to be ours, and that's just who I am. But actually, if you have an understanding of like what's actually hurt you, you can release that to him, and then you won't be hurt anymore. You'll be full of joy, you know. And that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to be free. I'm just going to share a few testimonies on what I've seen God do. And these aren't testimonies from like a year ago or 2 years ago. These are testimonies that are happening just the other month, just the other week, you know. As you walk in a testimony, you've got another testimony to walk into another testimony. And I just believe that that's all we're supposed to do, is share our testimonies about what God's done. You know, we've all got testimonies. We've all got good news to share about what our Messiah, what our Savior has done for us. So about a month ago, I was going into Tesco's Express at North Wootton. My son was having his hair cut, and I just went in to get lunch. Didn't go in there to preach. I didn't go in there to do a service. I just went here to get lunch. And as I was staring at the sandwiches, and I noticed the... So I was trying to pick my lunch, and you know, I just stare at sandwiches for the sake of it. But I was trying to choose what I was going to have. And as I was choosing, this guy who works in Tesco's was sweeping a broom. And as he lifted his arm, his arm just locked, froze. He couldn't lift it up and he couldn't lift it down. And I was standing right in front of him. I didn't even ask him if I could pray for him. I just laid my hand on his shoulder and just prayed. And I just thought, you know, God, You've given me this opportunity. Sometimes you just have to seize the opportunities that God puts in front of your very eyes, and you can trust him. Anyway, I prayed for this guy, believing that he was going to get healed. There was a lady standing next to him who also worked at Tesco's. As I took my arm away, I just said, oh, see how it feels like believing God's going to heal. And his arm didn't get healed. I felt a bit awkward. Then I just suddenly sat back and I just thought, I've seen the devil do so many damaging things. You know, he robs people of life. He destroys things. He destroys families. And I've had enough of the devil, you know. And I stood there thinking, actually, God, your name is higher than this shoulder. You can heal this man. And what he's saying is a lie. Like, Jesus can heal him. And I just prayed again. And as I was praying, I just felt the lion roar inside my spirit. Like, there was nothing that was going to stop him from receiving his healing because Jesus is higher. And I wanted to exalt him in that place because I thought, no, I'm not going to be mocked by a lady to believe that I'm nuts and crazy. You know, so as I prayed again, I just prayed that God loves him and he wants to reveal himself to him. And I just prayed, Holy Spirit, take away the pain in the name of Jesus. And that was it. Simple prayer like that. I took my arm away and he was lifting it up and down, praising God. The joy of the Lord come on him. And this lady, you know, and I was just rejoicing in that actually we can win these spiritual battles that we come against. And just because it doesn't happen, don't give up. That's all I'm saying. We can we know the story of the Good Samaritan. We understand, you know, like we've got the religious people and they all walk by because they're in a rush. But then you have the man who just is the Good Samaritan. He just sees someone who's in need and helps and provides everything that that man needs. And for me, knowing what God has done in my life, if I see someone in pain, I'm like, I want to be the Good Samaritan because there's gold inside my stomach. There's treasures in there from the Holy Spirit. And I've just found like one of the most important things for me is to listen to his voice. I've probably prayed for less people this year than I did all the other years, but I've seen God do more because I'm listening to the voice. Yeah. You can get caught up in doing works and running around, being here and everywhere. But if God ain't asking you to do it, you need to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. God says that he is jealous for us. And he yearns for us, and he wants to partner with us. You know, I've been out on the streets many a times, and many a times I've gone out with the Holy Spirit, and there's been many a times I felt like I didn't need to because I'd seen God do a lot. And then actually, he comes to a place of you need to humble yourself. We all need Jesus. And as we stay close to him and stay close to communion with the Holy Spirit, there's lots of verses in the Bible about the river. And for those who aren't Christians, who don't understand what it means about the river is just basically the Holy Spirit. And the river flows. And there's always a starting point of a river. Sometimes it comes from a mountain or a waterfall or something, but then sometimes there's a river that comes from a stream, which comes from a fountain that which bubbles up, which starts a trickle. You know, you may be walking along the bank and you may see a fast river and you may think, I'm not going to jump in that. It's too strong. The current's too strong. I'm going to drown. But I just believe God is saying, well, if you come to the start of the river, where it's still, where it's you're not going to get harmed, be in the river. Miracles happen when you're in the river. When you jump in the river with the Holy Spirit and you just let him take you down, let him flow you in your walk with Christ, let him show you what needs to be done, then you can be in the river and not drown. Because as you go deeper and deeper, he's preparing you more and more. He builds you in a character of like to be more like him. You know, Jesus says, I want to entrust you with the small things so when you're faithful with the small things, I can give you the bigger things. We've got to start off small. Let the Holy Spirit take us. You know, don't feel ashamed that you're not doing enough. Just start somewhere and, you know, let God take you. In October, we went to Florida. And sometimes I always struggle in my spirit, you know, like as Christians to have fun because I know God's got a purpose for me and a mandate for the gospel, a mandate for the lost. But so I struggle. I really do struggle to just have fun with my family because sometimes it's just condemnation from the enemy, which I know isn't of God. And but anyway, like this, I felt the Spirit of God on me. And I tell you, when I was in Florida, I prayed for so many people because they were so open to receive. There's some scripture in the Bible where it says, you know, the Spirit wouldn't let them do many miracles in that place. It was stopping them from preaching the gospel or for, you know, just to stepping out. And I felt there was a different atmosphere in Florida. I just felt like, actually, there's lots of hungry people that are willing to receive. And God was just speaking to me. And as I was sitting on a bench outside the Nike store, which we went to single every night, and I was getting bored. So I just sat on this bench. And this is how you enter into a conversation with God. I sat on this bench and I just said, God, I'm here, I'm available, and I'm willing. And I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm here. And as my this chap, he was probably 70 odd, African family, he walked past me with a cane and he was walking really, really slow, one step in front of the other. I felt the Holy Spirit say, he's got a bad back and it's his discs. He sat a few yards down on a bench further up. And I said, God, if you want me to pray for them, for this man, which I already knew he did, but I said, God, you need to give me boldness and you need to give me courage. And as soon as I felt the Spirit of God come on me, I went over to him, I approached him, and I shared to him. I said, that's your back, isn't it? I mean, to be honest, I thought it was his hip. But when God spoke to me about his back, I knew it was his back. And he said, yeah, it's my back. I said, it's your discs are all messed up. And he said, yeah. He said, how did you know that? I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, we go to the Baptist church. I said, are you a Christian? No, I didn't really. So I said to him, the Holy Spirit speaks. I'm in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I said, I believe he wants to heal your back. A word of knowledge builds faith up, not just in the person who's praying, but in the person who's receiving. So as I prayed for this man's back, his back got almost 90% better. I prayed for him again, and his back was completely healed. This chap was in his 70s, and he was walking normal, like without his cane. His brother-in-law said, here, here's your cane back. He said, no, I don't need it. And he went off praising God. And I just think to myself, these opportunities are all around, you know? It's so encouraging to see. But for me, like for this last 6 months, God's been teaching me about humility. And I'll be honest, in my weakness, and in my, I'm human and I have faults and I have weaknesses and desires, but pride is the biggest thing. God was teaching me that actually the gift had become, what Daryl has been speaking of the last couple of weeks about an eclipse. You know, you can have a ministry and worship and everything, but if it gets in the way of Jesus, then there's an issue. And I believed like for a while, like my gift, I've been so focused on the gift and the healings and everything that it got in the way of Jesus. This last 6 months, I've just been learning to love him and allow him to love me. And it's amazing. I think we can forget in our Christian walk, you know, like what God's done for us. The salvation that he's paid for us, which was free. I never want to forget what he's done. The day I forget that what he's done for me, you know, like this walk, being a Christian, it's impossible to live out without the Holy Spirit. I've come to that conclusion that if you want to be a Christian, you need to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And people might say, well, I can't do that. It's not about trying to be like someone else. It's about, the scripture says, it's about becoming like Jesus. You know, that is our process through our Christian walk, is to become more and more like him. There's something I shared last year about God told me to stop refereeing. And for 5 years, I'd given it up. And I haven't got time. It's 10:02. I've got time. Yeah. I want to share this testimony quickly because the things I'm sharing, I believe, God has put on my heart to pray for specifically. But about 5 years ago, I gave up refereeing. And when I came back to God, God told me to give up refereeing. And then this year, God told me to take it back up again. He said, but I don't want you to take it up for your purpose. I want you to take it up for mine. He said, there's a scripture where it says to go into all the world, the unreached world. And I believe we all have unreached worlds that we can reach. And I believe God was saying there's a football community that don't know Jesus. And I want you in the heart of it. So I took up refereeing again. My first game back, I did at Gayton, and there was a guy, he went up for a header with another chap, he landed on his ankle and he rolled it. He had to be carried off by two chaps under each arm, and he sat on the sideline with his feet elevated. And the physio said, that he'd done his Achilles and that he'd probably be off between 8 and 10 weeks. As I was walking off the pitch, I just felt God say, you know, this is why I've asked you to come back. This is an opportunity for you to step into. He had all his family around him, his mum and dad, his wife, his children. As I approached him, I just said to him, like, I believe in Jesus. I was in my referee's kit and everything. And I just said to him, I believe he can heal you. And his wife said, you want to pray? Pray like this. And I said, yeah. I said, I know what Jesus has done. I put my trust in him. When I go into the fire, I put my trust in him. Like, he's faithful. He's going to be there. He's going to show up. I laid my hand on his ankle and he got healed. He was walking around completely astounded by what God had done. And I was able to share the gospel. I mean, I was preaching the gospel to all of them, to everyone. Because there was an opportunity, just like Peter had, and we can have these same opportunities when we see a miracle, like jump in the river and share the gospel. Because you never know when that seed will come to fruition. You never know when God will start to water it. And I get discouraged because I don't always see salvation when I want to see it, but I believe like when you've planted something like that in there, that will never leave them. So the words and knowledge, for I want to pray for the sick and I want the ministry team to come forward. You know who you are. But the things I've already spoke about is ankle injuries, bad backs. What was the other one? Ankle, back, and shoulder. That's it, the shoulder. So if you're struggling with any of those, the other thing is I had a vision. I had a vision when I was laying on my face the other night, over a week and a half ago. There was someone with depression, deep, deep depression. And I saw Jesus healing that person, like something lifted off him. And God showed me Sylvia, and I've asked Sylvia to pray with me for these people. So if you've got depression, if you've got a bad back, or if you've got ankle or shoulder pain, I want you to come to this side. If you've got any other pain that you're struggling with, and I mean anything, whether it's a bad ankle like Samuel had, or bad finger, anything, let's just believe like God wants to heal every single thing that is sick in your body. And so yeah, I want to hand over to the worship team.